About a year after my divorce was final, I got a call from my ex-mother-in-law letting me know that my ex was getting remarried. I was only mildly surprised, mostly that it had taken him almost 2 years to meet, successfully propose, and schedule a wedding with his would-be second wife. In hindsight, I'm actually kind of surprised it took him that long because usually narcissists move much quicker. Still, I have absolutely no doubt that he was dating and being in love with someone, likely more than one person, shortly after I left him. But I didn't even start dating until the divorce was final, which within itself took a year after I left. Even though I didn't want this person back in any way, part of me felt some kind of way about the whole situation. It wasn't that I felt jealous, I felt confused. I felt like I wanted to contact this woman and tell her what she was in for, but if I'm being honest, I wanted to know how he was treating her. Was he being nice? Had he suddenly become the person I'd always wanted him to be? Had all the time and effort I spent trying to help him kind of get it together finally benefited someone, even if it wasn't me? Part of me hoped that he would be different for her, but the other part of me knew that he wouldn't. It would be about 5 years later that I'd finally have the opportunity to speak to this woman. When my now husband decided to adopt my oldest son, the one I'd had with my ex, I had to reach out to my ex, and he agreed to sign the papers because mostly it might mean that he wouldn't be on the hook for child support anymore. Anyway, understandably, despite the fact that she'd never spoken to or met my son because he'd spent literally no time at all with my ex, his wife at that time was quite concerned about the situation and showed up with him when I met him to sign the papers. Once everything had been resolved, she ended up calling me several times and we got along just fine. She wanted to talk about her husband and their relationship. I guess someone who understood. She wanted to know if her experiences were like mine, and it turned out that her marriage was nearly identical to mine, except maybe a little worse because she didn't tolerate as much of his crap as I had. She was 10 years older than me, and he was 8 years older than me. But I guess her strength led to his increasing intensity and frequency of manipulation and gaslighting, so either way, she ended up divorcing him not long after that. Now, he'd end up married twice more after that, as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure he's still with his fourth wife. The one thing I felt worried about was that he would be better to someone who wasn't me. And after having the opportunity to talk to both his second and third wives, I learned the truth. He was the same person for them as he'd been for me. Turned out he didn't change. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt that way yourself? Have you ever worried that your ex would somehow change for the new source of narcissistic supply? If so, you're not alone. I hear this question from people all the time. People ask me, will the narcissist change for the new supply? Will they take everything I try to teach them and use it successfully in a new relationship? Well, that's exactly what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. Narcissists and their new sources of narcissistic supply, their new partners, how they treat them, and whether their new relationship is as good as they make it seem from the outside. So let's get started. So you finally had the nerve to leave your partner, who you're pretty sure is a toxic narcissist, or maybe they left you. And now, after years of psychological and emotional mind games, you're finally starting to breathe again. You are finally free of this horrible, selfish energy, and part of you thinks, I'm a brand new person. Life is just starting to really, really, really be good, or it's on the way anyway. But then it happens. In person or on social media, you kind of spot your former would-be soulmate with someone new. You're quite startled by this, and maybe it feels like you've been slapped in the face a little bit. But pretty soon, you notice there's something different about the narcissist. Somehow they seem happier, brighter, relaxed even. They're having a good time with a new person, maybe even someone who looks a little like you or who has something in common with you. They're laughing, they're talking, and they're even being charming. You wonder, who is this person? You're confused, you're hurt, you're angry. This person's a far cry from the narcissist you recently knew. Somehow your ex has transformed themselves back into the amazing person you fell in love with. What in the world is going on here? But seconds later, almost as if time is moving in slow motion, you realize what's happening. Your narcissist has found their next victim, and they are in the process of love bombing this person. And for just a moment, you get a front row seat. Listen, I know it stings. I know it hurts when you see the person you fell in love with reemerging after you've been away for a while. And I also know that you wonder at least a little bit if somehow the narcissist was right all along and it really was just you. Side note, I promise you it wasn't. But let's talk about it. Why does the narcissist become the person you fell in love with when you leave? Well, let's have a reality check, my friend. You were never the problem in your toxic relationship. I'm not saying you were perfect. I'm not saying you didn't make mistakes. I'm just saying the majority of your issues in the relationship were a direct reaction to the mind games and manipulation that you were putting up with in the relationship. First, allow me to acknowledge that while every step in the healing process after a toxic relationship with a narcissist can be very painful, this one that we're talking about today is probably one of the most confusing. See, while the bigger part of you knows that the narcissist is never going to really change, this other little part of you might still even love them a little bit, or to put it more accurately, love the version of them that you once believed was real. You know, the one you signed up for in the first place. And that's the part of them that they're now parading around. It's like you're mourning that version of the narcissist all over again. But let me repeat, the problem was not you. The problem was that the narcissist took you for granted. They got used to having you around. They got spoiled by you and your supply. And maybe they got bored. Or maybe you demanded that they behave like an actual grown-up, or their manipulation stopped working. Or they got shiny new object syndrome. Or they decided they didn't love you anymore. Or whatever. And they left to pursue whatever it was that they wanted in that moment. Or maybe you finally had enough and you left them. Either way, the relationship ended and you moved on, or at least you're trying to now. But you keep asking yourself that question. Will the narcissist treat someone else better? Is the new supply going to get a better deal than you had? Maybe it would help you to understand why the narcissist has suddenly become Mr. or Ms. Perfect again. And here's the truth. Now that the relationship has ended, whether it was the narcissist's idea or yours to end things, the narcissist was left without a source of regular narcissistic supply, and it's not possible for a narcissist to exist long without it. Sure, they'll have their little circle of supply, they'll have their friends, family members, even people they've cheated with. But now that you're no longer officially together, the narcissist is out there on the prowl again, seeking out the new source of narcissistic supply that they need to save them from themselves. This is normal. It's exactly what you should expect from a toxic narcissist. And while a small part of you might secretly hate the new supply, the other part of you sadly knows that it isn't going to be all hearts and flowers for the new supply either. That's right, if you really think about it, you're going to know exactly how this story's going to go. As you know, narcissists are very difficult to live with, and even a reasonably intelligent person would kind of feel ashamed of themselves for tolerating the narcissist's manipulative tactic. That means that the new supply is probably keeping any of their drama and BS that's going on under wraps right now. And if you're being honest, you might have done the same thing back then, especially on social media. I remember being very embarrassed if anyone found out what I was dealing with, so I told very few people, and I was embarrassed that I was allowing it to happen. Here's what you need to remember. Narcissistic abuse runs in cycles, and this is one of them. In case you're not familiar with it, the standard toxic relationship pattern that narcissists use is pretty basic. Initially, they love bomb and idealize you, then they devalue you, and finally they discard you, and a lot of times they kind of come back around and suck you back in, hoovering, and the cycle begins again. This happens in varying iterations, and it happens often inside the same relationship over and over again for decades. But if I'm in your shoes at this point, I'm going to make use of this situation, and I'm going to go no contact or low contact, and I'm going to use it to my advantage. You should block them both on Facebook, the narcissist and the new supply, so that you don't have to see it when you sort of torture yourself by stalking their profiles. It means you won't listen when some well-meaning flying monkey tries to offer you updates on the narcissist and the new supply. It means you're going to move forward and focus only on what you can control and not what you can't control. And since you couldn't control the narcissist while you were together, you sure as heck can't control them now. Nor should you want to. This person is no longer your problem. If you do have kids together and you can't go completely no contact, you go low contact, only dealing with the narcissist about the business of raising the kids, nothing else. But how do you deal with the painful reality of watching the narcissist be perfect for someone else? Number one, see the patterns. Start by remembering what you dealt with and by recognizing what the new supply will deal with soon enough if they're not already going through it. And even if you're tempted to warn your narcissist's new supply about what they're getting themselves into, don't do it, even if your intentions are good. Since chances are they're still in the love bombing or idealization phase, and since your ex has probably told them a lot of big lies about you, they're not going to believe you anyway, and you're going to end up regretting the decision to reach out for a number of reasons. Number two, realize the truth. Don't sit around thinking that the narcissist's new supply is going to end up getting the benefit of all the hard work you did trying to fix them. It doesn't work like that. The narcissist is and always was exactly who they are. They always will be. They don't change. I'm not saying they can't change, because I believe that if a narcissist were to really dig in and discover and heal their core wounds, it might be possible. But in all the years I've worked in this business, I've never seen it happen. And I've never seen it happen with any narcissist in my own life, nor anyone that I've worked with. I've interviewed a number of psychologists and other experts in this industry who will tell you the same thing. A narcissist does not change. Not for long, anyway. The most you're going to get out of them is a temporary behavior modification, and that is only if the narcissist gets something out of it. Number three, grieve the relationship. This is somewhere I failed in my early recovery. Rather than grieving the relationship, I thought it would be a good idea to avoid my feelings and just move forward. That turned out to be a terrible idea because it would later come back and bite me in the butt. The fact is, while the grief process will wait, it will not go away. Eventually, you're going to have to grieve the person you signed up for and let them go, so get it over with while you can. This brings me to number four, be honest with yourself. Remember that you're not really mourning the person you lost. You're mourning the person that you thought you had, the illusion of who you believed they were. It's an ever-turning cycle the narcissist will repeat in varying iterations for the rest of their lives. Be glad you're off that wheel, my friend. This brings me to number five, put yourself first for once. Stay focused on you, making your own life better. You have already been tortured enough. If you let this situation continue to make you miserable, you're only allowing the narcissist to continue the abuse and to control you from far away. Take back your life, my friend, and choose to be happy in your own way. Focus on what you can control, not what you can't. That brings me to number six, put the focus on healing. It's time for you to heal and start to release the anger and the sadness. As you work on your own healing, the layers of anger and sadness will soon disappear. One of the hardest things for me and for many survivors of these kinds of relationships was mourning the illusion of that perfect relationship that we truly wanted to believe that we had. Letting that go was a big step for me, and many other survivors have told me the same thing. That brings me to number seven, don't overthink the new supply. Never compare yourself to the new supply unless it's to feel sorry for them as you take note of the pattern that you're thankfully no longer subjected to in your own life. Don't do yourself the disservice of trying to think that the new supply is in any way better than you. Narcissists are really picky, so chances are, if the new source of supply seems better than you somehow, it's only because the narcissist hasn't managed to ruin them just yet. Number eight, skip the what ifs. Don't what if and if only yourself to death. It's really common to have feelings of regret after any relationship ends, and you wouldn't be human if you didn't wonder what you could have done differently, or whether something you said or did could have been the trigger that kind of caused it all to go downhill. But that's not the truth, and it's not helping you. It's only causing you more pain, and chances are you couldn't have changed the situation anyway without going completely insane trying to make the narcissist happy. But you were going for something that was impossible, because remember, the narcissist will never be truly happy. True happiness comes from within, and if we're being honest, narcissists are sort of empty on the inside, at least on an emotional level. That's why they need supply. Now it's time to live in the moment and think about how you want your future to go. So what do you think? This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever experienced watching your ex, a narcissist, get involved with a new person or even just appear to return to the person they used to be? And how did it make you feel? What advice would you offer to your fellow survivors in this situation? Or are you currently dealing with this issue? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right here and right there. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.